We'd like to welcome everyone to the house of the Lord on this beautiful Sabbath day. Our guest minister for the hour, he's not probably a guest to most of us. We know him, but there might be a few that don't, is High Priest Glenn Friend, and we'd like to welcome him and his son from Mark from the Colburn Road congregation to worship with us, and pray that you might uphold Brother Glenn in his ministry this hour. For a call to worship this morning, I want to read to you out of section 108 of our Doctrine and Covenants. Therefore, prepare ye, O my people, sanctify yourselves. Gather ye together, O ye people of my church, upon the land of Zion, all you that have not been commanded to tarry. Go ye out from Babylon, be ye clean, and bear the vessels of the Lord. Call your solemn assemblies, and speak off one to another. And let every man call upon the name of the Lord. Yea, verily I say unto you again, the time has come when the voice of the Lord is unto you. Go ye out of Babylon, gather ye out from among the nations, from the four winds, and from one end of heaven to the other. And then he gave an admonition to the elders in that which they were to share with the Gentiles and the Jews. And behold, and lo, this shall be their cry, and the voice of the Lord unto all people. Go ye forth unto the land of Zion, that the borders of my people may be enlarged, and that her stakes may be strengthened, and that Zion may go forth unto the regions around about. Yea, and let the cry go forth among all people. Awake and arise, and go forth and meet the bridegroom. Behold, and lo, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out and meet him. Prepare yourselves for the great day of the Lord. Thank you.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for this new day that you've given us, Father. This new opportunity that we have to come before you, Lord, and just place ourselves at your feet and allow you, Lord, to use us, Father, to mold us. And I just pray that you would be with Glenn today, Father, as he shares your word, and that he might expound, Father, what it is you have to share, Father, with this congregation this morning. I also want to thank you, Lord, for this beautiful creation, Lord, that you have given us in this beautiful day that we have had to travel here, Lord, and just enjoy being ministered to, Lord, by your creation as well, Father. Just pray that you would bless us in this hour, that your Spirit might abide with us, that we might abide with you and cleave to you, Father. And I pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
I don't know whether you asked this question. Sometimes we see people pulling out their wallets, just giving money. Do you ever ask yourself why? Do we do it as habit? There's a scripture in D&C 110:24c that says it pretty clear. Let us therefore, as a church and a people, and as Latter-day Saints, offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. And let us present in his holy temple, when it is finished, a book containing the records of our dead, which shall be worthy of all acceptance. Think about why you give. Not only for your own self, but for others. It is his commandment. It's for your own salvation and for the help and giving to others. Those want to come forward. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would watch over us this offering today. Guide and direct us in all the things we do with it. And may these offerings be found worthy in your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
From DNC, 85th section. That's a very powerful section that speaks to us in many ways, but I'm just going to read the very first verse. Verily, thus saith the Lord unto you, who have assembled yourselves together to receive his will concerning you. Behold, this is pleasing unto your Lord, and the angels rejoice over you. The alms of your prayers have come up unto the ears of the Lord of Sabaoth, and recorded in the book of the names of the sanctified, even them of the celestial world. Memories. When I saw the choir put on the robes out in the foyer there, it reminded me of the time that I sang in the choir and put on the robe. And those were great times, and so I appreciate very much your ministry. The ministry that's brought to a congregation can touch your heart by music. It can cause tears to come to your eyes. It can bless you in many miraculous and marvelous ways. Memories. The class brought to me memories this morning as we studied the scriptures together and had opportunity to share with each other. And that's really what the gospel is about, to share with each other, to have fellowship with each other, to listen to the piano, and all of these things that stimulate the spirit and allow us to worship. And so we worship today. This is probably the largest congregation that I've been privileged to speak to for quite some time. And so I'm grateful to be with you, and I know many of you by sight and can't call your name, but some of you I can call your name and have worshiped with you before in different situations as well as here. It's been some time since I've been here that I can remember at least. But I know your faces, and I'm touched by your presence and your faces, because I know that you came maybe some out of habit, but I don't think so. I think that you came to worship and to be fed and to be stimulated in your thinking, that you might consider some things that you may have not considered. And I have opportunity of recent to have time to read and to study and to ponder. Not just read through these books, the three books. You can read through them and never know what they really say or what ministry they might bring to you. But as you read and as you study, I have found at least that there are new things that jump out. I thought I knew the book pretty well, the Book of Mormon. I'm going to talk about things that are in the Book of Mormon mostly today, and some things that how the Book of Mormon came about, which was a miracle in a marvelous way. You may already know it, but I'm going to recite to you, and some of you may not know it. There was things that I did not know until just the last month or two. I've had opportunity since June has passed, almost 3 years now, and memory goes back to the very first time that I saw her. What a beautiful young lady. 14 years old. I was 16. And you know how we met? In a choir. So that's a marvelous memory. She was a non-member. Her parents were non-members. But her dad had read the Book of Mormon in the service and believed in it. That book has enough truth in it to convince those who never read it before of its divinity. Marvelous, isn't it? That book, within its content, within these pages, 700 or some odd pages, can convince someone who never went to church very much or didn't know if they really believed all the things about God, and then be convinced enough so that when he walked into our home in Colorado and he saw a Book of Mormon laying on my dad's table, he said to my father, Michael, I read that book in the service, and it's a great book. You believe in it? Dad said, yes, I do, and I'll get you one right now. And he handed Floyd, my father-in-law, that book. Miracle? Absolutely. A miracle on the way for us to go to a little old town up in the mountains and to ice skate together. He could ice skate. Memories. When did I first know about Jesus? I was 4 or 5 years old. That's not very old. But children can know Jesus at that age. I have met quite a few just recently that I've heard pray to Jesus, and I know that they know him. And some have said that they have seen him. He appears to children. He ministers to children. He worships with children, and their prayers reveal his goodness. And I'm grateful for those prayers. They touch my heart. They touch my spirit. And I'm sure if you've heard very many of them pray, they probably do the same for you. I sure hope so. Anyway, I'm going to share with you some memories and some things that I didn't know until just recently. I thought I knew this book and how it came about. Pretty sure I did. But I received a little book from a man. It's called Miracles on Palmyra's Main Street. It's just a small booklet, 30-some pages. And so I thought, well, find out what that miracle's all about. So I began reading that little book, little pamphlet, and I found out a whole lot of things that I didn't know. And so I'm going to share a few of those things with you because they're important. They're extremely important, and they're important because they give me a whole new perspective and touch my life in a new way. I hope it does for you. And you can get one of these books if you want. I can show it to you, and you can figure it out. Miraculous Work and a Wonder is what this book says about the Book of Mormon. It is an interesting to note that the first copies of the Book of Mormon were completed just 11 days prior to the organization of the church in 1830. Completed. 5,000 copies. That's a lot. 5,000 copies 11 days prior to the organization of the church in 1830. Did you know that? I didn't. Who paid for them? Martin Harris. He sold part of his farm for the exact amount of the cost of printing 5,000 copies. $3,000, 60 cents a piece for this miraculous book. I didn't know that until recently. The man who wrote this was a typesetter and he owned a print shop. He was born 2 years before I was. But he had personal experience into what, how long it took to typeset the book, how long it took to print a book, how long it took to do all of the things that you and I have a sacred record. And in his personal background, he said there was no way that that little print shop could have printed it in the time that they said they did. But they had record, it's true. He went through all of the events of typesetting and printing, and all that it took to print the Book of Mormon. And here's what he found. He found that to typeset it should have taken 5.5 months, just to typeset it. That wasn't to reset and to pull the lever of that little print shop and to print it. And it wasn't the time it took to bind it and to make 5,000 copies and to put leather binding around it. And he estimated that the total time to do all of this was 17 and a half months. Yet, this miracle book was done in just over 6 months. Phenomenal. You know what he says? He said only God could have intervened in order for it to be printed in 6 months, just over 6 months. 5,000 copies at 60 cents a copy. And a man who sold his farm, Martin Harris, for the exact amount to pay the printer, $3,000. Miracle? Yes. I'm going to read to you just a little bit out of this book that he talks about a day-to-day miracle. It says, "It's incredible to realize that a little more than 6 months after Oliver Cowdery and Joseph Smith presented the printer's copy or manuscript to the printer in August 1829, 5,000 books were printed. It's incredible. And unbelievable. There isn't any logical explanation that can be given." Wasn't logical. "Yet the first copies were available on March the 26th, 1830, a little more than 6 months after the work began. By my conviction, although nothing is written, that Moroni and others..." And I've got that underlined. "And others beyond the veil, having been given a spiritual mandate, actually assisted and helped the workers in that little print shop. Every morning, before they were ready to typeset, they found the typeset already set. Who did it? They never knew. A miracle that we have the Word of God, the Gospel. Yes, indeed, a miracle. The time it took by a little company called the E.B. Grandin Print Shop. Joseph Smith designated the kind of paper it should be printed on. Pretty bold, wasn't he? He said it wanted to be printed on both sides and you couldn't see through, which was 20 years above what they normally had paper to print with. But you know what happened? The day that they were to print the Book of Mormon, they found on their back porch, this is what they found, the proper paper, the right size for the print, and everything to go with it. And I'm going to read just a little bit of that to you. "Yet when the Book of Mormon came out, it was printed on both sides on lightweight white paper, with no see-through. Where did Grandin get the paper?" This little print shop. Where did he get it? This is a typesetter's version of what happened. Someone who owned a print shop. Someone who knew what his abilities were as a print shop. Where did they get the paper? "The only answer I've been able to find in my research, and it's a poor one, is that one writer said it appeared mysteriously one day on the back porch of Grandin Print Shop. Let's see, 25,000 sheets of paper, 18 by 30 times 17 forms, that represented 92,500 sheets of paper. The exact amount that it took to print 5,000 copies of the Book of Mormon. I thought this was interesting to note, all of these miracles that happened. The miracle of not only the fact that it lay dormant on gold plates for 1,500 years in Hill Cumorah, close to where Joseph lived. Another miracle. Do you know what's in it? Have you ever read it? Have you studied it? Have you found anything interesting in it? I found something interesting that I think I was aware of, but just didn't register down deep in my heart. One of the things was that, you know, the three Nephites, the Lord touched all of the 12 apostles on this land except three. And he didn't touch them because they wanted to live like Peter, James, and John. They didn't want to die. They wanted to live and bring what? The gospel of Jesus Christ into the lives of people all around them. That was their desire. And so he didn't touch them. And he told them that they could live. I really somehow didn't gather up the information, though I've read this book through at least four times and taught it for 2 years in Colorado. But I didn't teach them that those three Nephites baptized and confirmed members into the church. Doesn't say organization, it says the church of Christ. They baptized and confirmed the members. So Jesus was about his work in the Nephite times that this book tells about. And it tells that they baptized, and it reiterates it more than once, so that everyone would know that that's what happened. Marvelous work and a wonder. We are blessed, you and I, everyone in the sound of my voice, is blessed with the restoration movement. It has not been destroyed. It is still alive. There are still a few high priests left. There are a few patriarchs left, very few of us, and there are a whole lot of members left yet. Quite a few here. You're only one of the restoration movements. Paul Frenstahl and I go, and you're blessed to have him in your congregation, go all over Missouri attempting to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to teach. We have six assignments ahead of us into November to share the good news. This is good news to me of how this book came about. The printing of it in 6 months, it should have taken 17 and a half to 18 months to have it printed. Miraculous. Intervention, God's intervention. Divine intervention, he knew the right men to pick at the right time. And they appeared. I'm going to share just a few things out of it that I had marked that I thought was interesting. This book is full of prophetic utterances by prophetic men all the way through it. And the more I study it, the more I realize how prophetic they really are. And I'm going to read just a little bit of that prophetic utterance. And it's in Alma, the 21st chapter. And I'm going to start with 16. And now it came to pass that after Alma had said these things to Helaman, his son, he blessed him and also his other sons. And he also blessed the earth. Blessed the earth. You and I stand on that. He blessed the earth for the righteous sake. Alma did this. And he said, "Thus saith the Lord God, cursed shall be the land, yet this land unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people unto destruction, who do wickedly when they are fully ripe." If the world isn't ripening for wickedness, I don't think I need to live any longer. Now listen to the rest of this. "And as I have said, so shall it be. As I have said, so shall it be. For this is the cursing and the blessing of God upon the land upon which you stand." I inserted that. "For the Lord cannot look upon sin with the great least degree of allowance." You and I need repentance. I need repentance every day when I don't choose to worship Him. I'm not just to worship Him today. I'm to worship Him every day, Monday through Sunday. "For the Lord cannot look upon sin with the least degree of allowance." And now when Alma had said these words, he blessed what? The church. You belong to the church of God. I belong to the church of God. He blessed the church. For how long? "Yea, all those which should stand fast in the faith from this time henceforth." That includes me. Henceforth. You and I are henceforth. "And when Alma had done this, he departed out of the land of Zarahemla, as if to go to the land of Melech. And it came to pass that he was never heard of more. And as to his death or burial, we know not of." Did the Lord take him to himself? He was a prophet and a righteous man, and he prophesied of our day, henceforth. The church, henceforth. If you think the church is going to just dissipate and no longer exist, you're mistaken. It will succeed until his coming. The church. From 3 Nephi, the second chapter, starting with 104. These are excerpts that I've had marked at different times so that I wouldn't forget where they were and to remember the promises that's there. 104. "Surely he hath blessed the house of Jacob." You know who Jacob is. Jacob and Israel are the same. "And hath been merciful unto the seed of Joseph of Egypt." I inserted Egypt. "And inasmuch as the children of Lehi hath kept his commandments, he hath blessed them and prospered them according to his word." Blessed and promised them. And they're still alive. A remnant of Joseph's seed. "And surely shall he again bring a remnant of the seed of Joseph to the knowledge of the Lord their God." So this book was brought that it might bring them back to a knowledge of God. And you and I are of the seed of Joseph, probably. Probably Ephraim or Manasseh are one of the tribes. And if we're not, we're a Gentile. And if we're a Gentile, we're adopted into the house of Israel, which means we have all the rights of the house of Israel. Adoption. It means that I take on my parenthood of Israel. I thought that was interesting. Now, if you can find in what I'm going to read next, and there are 12 of them. Amazing. 12. And this is in 3 Nephi, starting with 5, 40. I'm going to start with 47. "Therefore, Blessed are ye if ye shall believe in me. You believe in Jesus? Then blessed. And be baptized after you have seen me and know that I am. Now, you and I may not have seen Jesus face to face, but we see him in all of creation outside. We didn't do that. You might mow the lawn, but you didn't create it. And this morning, I saw something out of the window in my kitchen. I saw a flock of birds. So I wanted to know what that flock of birds was doing. I stood for almost 10 minutes watching a continuous stream of robins headed where? South. His creation. So I saw God today in a flight of birds headed south because it's getting winter time. And he'll feed them all the way wherever they're going. If he loves the birds that much that they don't be destroyed in the snows and the bad weather of winter and nothing to eat, then how much does he love you? And he does it every year for them. And the geese fly south. And he takes care of them. And he takes care of the trees because they're starting to turn. And if the sap stayed up, it would kill them. And so I see him in the beauty of the golden leaves because I know that the sap has left and they turn gold. If they didn't, the leaves would turn brown. Is his hand at work? I see him. Don't you? And I see that the leaves of the trees around my house, not all of them, but some of them are turning. It is September. And it will soon be cold enough to destroy them and to kill them if the sap doesn't go down and be stored once again to be revived next spring and come back up again. And the leaves are formed and turn green. I see him. Again, more blessed are they which shall believe in your words, because that ye shall testify that ye have seen me and know that I am. 3. Yea, blessed are they which shall believe in your words and come down into the depths of humility and be baptized. For they shall be visited with fire and with the Holy Ghost and shall receive a remission of their sins. Do you realize and know that as in that baptismal font and you come up out of it and receive the Holy Ghost, that your sins are forgiven you and you got a brand new start? I need a few new starts, don't you? Yea, blessed are the poor in spirit, which cometh unto me, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Yea, again, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I'd have to say that I never mourned after the loss of my wife of 58 years because she was so sick. I was relieved to know that she was not going to suffer anymore and was going into the presence of the Lord, there to be without pain. But I've had reason to mourn over other things, my own sins. Blessed are the meek. You want a blessing? Are you meek? Well, here's your reward for being meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Pretty good reward. And blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. There's not a greater blessing that can come to you than the power of the Holy Spirit as it rests upon you and brings tears to your eyes, and you know that Jesus lives. I don't know of a greater blessing. before I go on, I've had opportunity to read again and get more out of it than I did the first time on Memory's Beam by Elbert A. Smith. If you haven't read it and you have it in your library, dig it out and read it. Because in that reading there have been several times, and I just finished the book yesterday, there have been several times that the Holy Spirit has rested upon me and I knew that Elbert told the truth and the truth was in that book and tears run down my face. Because of the power that was in it, in that which God revealed. And blessed are they, are the merciful, so they shall obtain mercy. And blessed are all the pure in heart. Oh, here's a real blessing. Pure in heart, this is your blessing. This is what you're going to get. For they shall see God, see Him, not just in the flock of robins, not just in the trees, not just in the grass, but you'll look upon His face. What a reward in these blessings. And this is in 3 Nephi, the 5th chapter. Don't forget, you can go home and read it. And blessed are all the peacemakers. Boy, do we need peacemakers. Even in our own homes. For they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are all they which are persecuted for my name's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And here's the last one. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. For ye shall have great joy and be exceeding glad. I've got some others marked. My time's run out. And I just pray that you might have been blessed once again as you've met in His house and have been partakers in the class and in the music. There's nothing like music. I've probably been blessed more times in the hymns that are sung by the congregation than any other time in my life. Profoundly blessed, and I was this morning by the choir, even when they met in that back room and put on your robes. Thank you. Gracious Heavenly Father, certainly we have been blessed this day, as we have gathered here to hear the preached word, to hear the beautiful singing of hymns, and certainly in our class discussion as well. Father, you bless us in so many ways, and we are thankful for all that we see about us that confesses and tells us that we are nothing in thy sight, but yet you love us so. We would pray now, especially after being fed spiritually, that as we consider our time that we will share together in a meal, that you will bless that as well, and that as we visit with one another and share our many thoughts and concerns, that you will guide us in all our discussions this day, that they would be worthy of consideration, that you would look kindly upon those who have prepared this meal for each of us, that you would bless them as well. And this we now pray humbly. In the precious name of Jesus, I ask. Amen.